To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on you, bruvs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Audiobooks podcast and the Rose Pricks The Bachelor podcast. And I'm with my gorgeous little friend visiting home, loving his parents, being cuddled by the warmth of his family, Ben Mandelker of the B-side blog of the Banter Blender. Hello, Ben.
Well, hello, Ronnie. How are you doing today on this fine Thursday afternoon?
I'm doing so good. I know it's going to be a good show because right before we started, I got an Amazon delivery of everything and my laundry delivery. Oh. So all of the dog barking elements of the show are currently not here.
Wow, I am so jealous that you got an Amazon Prime delivery. You know, we make fun of Catherine Dennis for it a lot, but the truth is, I think we're jealous.
Oh yeah, we're jealous. I'd suck Thomas's dick for a good Amazon Prime payment. I mean, that's worth it.
I want something from Amazon Prime. I want something.
Well, Ben, there's always clicking and buying on Amazon Prime. It's not something special. You can do it.
I know.
Anybody can do it.
Luckily, I don't have Amazon Prime, but I have the emotional support of all the good people on Instagram. Because for those of you who don't know, we have an Instagram channel page. And on top of that, I'm currently on live right now. We've got 41 people watching at least my half of the podcast. They're hearing a one-sided podcast, which is a little weird, but, you know, hey. And it's on live.
Dream come true, darling.
Dream come true. And not only do they get to see one half of the podcast, they're actually getting a glimpse into my childhood bedroom. They get to see the air conditioner I was raised with right over my shoulder.
Oh, shit. I don't even know if I can see that because you're on our account, right? Well, I guess I can go to my own account and see it.
It's not worth it, I tell you. But however, I will say this. if you follow us on Instagram, you also could spy in on the podcast as it's being made. This is how the sausage is made, darling.
The sausage. Sausage. I am trying to look now. And that's how we do in the middle of a show. I'll be like, oh, I'm going to look at your Instagram. All right, let's just sit here for five minutes, twiddling around. Okay, I'm not going to do that right now. I'll see your childhood air conditioner later. But, I mean, that's something you got to see. How often do you get the chance to see your friends? Childhood air conditioner.
I know. It's a big moment. And maybe a little later I'll go back on live. I'm only going to keep it on live for like 15 minutes, but maybe after the show I'll go back on live and give people a tour of the wall of memories up in front of me, which is a really powerful wall. Up there with the Wailing Wall, I would say.
It's your own Princess's Long Island. You should set up right in front of your bedposts like they did.
I know. I just wish I had bedposts.
Oh, man.
And doorknobs.
Oh, my God. It's like Erica's story from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I didn't have doorknobs. Mom was a real bitch.
What was it? Bedknobs? Was it broomsticks and doorknobs and bedknobs?
Bedknobs and broomsticks.
Oh, bedknobs and broomsticks.
Angela Lansbury, get out of my head.
Wait, bedknobs? What's a bedknob?
It's on the bedpost. There are those little round things that screw into the sticks.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. They were real creative back then with their woodwork.
Yeah, bed knobs and broomsticks. It always leads to trouble. That's what I always say.
So today is Real Housewives of Atlanta Day. And Ben, I have one question.
What?
Who said that?
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 Who said that? I need to do some vocal warm-ups before we start Real Housewives of Atlanta, because there is some squeaking going on today.
I have 3 hours on you, so my instrument is ready.
Who said that?
Although I don't have my coffee today. I don't have my coffee.
Wait, hold on. Okay, well, Bueller heard it.
A few more warm-ups, Erica. Bueller not only heard it, he's now terrified.
You know what's so sad? He's actually not. He's, like, so used to it. Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome. It's like, whatever.
Our poor listeners, the sounds that they have to put up with between our squeaks and our squeals and when we command their home entertainment systems to play Calliope music, that's really tough.
I'm going to make an effort to not do that again because I really hate when my friends do that to me. I hate it.
What? When they
say, hey, Amazon Echo, and they bring it to life and tell it to start doing stuff or like what music to play. It just makes me so crazy. I'm like, guys, can I control my party environment? That would be great.
Well, it's your fault for having a robot butler, okay? Next time, get a human butler who can tell the difference between your orders and just some schmuck on a podcast.
It's just actually a rain machine is what I use it for that happens to have the extra quality of making me feel even more lonely. So well done. Well done, Alexa.
Alexa, compliment me.
There's nothing
Look, now
like...
everyone's being complimented. Notice that. Everyone. Everyone's getting something nice being told by their robot.
Yes. There's nothing like having to train your Amazon Echo to like make you feel loved before pretending it's raining.
How to train your Alexa. Alexa Couture.
Alexa, please mute the sounds of reality with anything. Anything at all.
So y'all are very patient because it's Thursday and this was another crazy episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta. And rather than getting into it, we're sitting here talking about robot butlers. But that's okay because we're going to get into it now. Real Housewives of Atlanta, which is going to move back to Mondays starting this Monday now that Top Chef is over. So you won't have to wait very long for the next recap, everyone.
Yeah, we'll be right back with some Real Housewives of Atlanta now. It won't take forever. It is funny having this be towards the end of our week now. It just changes the order of everything, which, yeah. I don't know, it does change the brain space, I think. But I love it. I watched it in the morning today, and that's a very interesting way to start off your morning, these ladies. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, starting off the morning with Real Housewives of Atlanta is, that's like that bulletproof coffee right there, you know? It's going to wake you up and fill you up for the rest of the day.
Yeah, these bitches are crazy. I really appreciated Candy starting off this episode kind of like I was feeling. Like, well, I'm just walking around my house, putting some fluffs and pillows.
Pillows.
We was going to have people over, but I got to fluff you first.
Right.
Carmen, I was thinking you could fluff some pillows. So she's decided to have a house meeting. Candy's so fucking hilarious. She's like, I'm inviting everyone over because I'm not going to another goddamn restaurant where I don't get to eat my lunch because I get so mad. I'll just do it here so I can at least have a tuna sandwich and kick these bitches out.
Yeah, she basically invites everyone over except for Phaedra and Portia just to tell everyone what Portia was saying. So they all gather up and they're all sitting in this like clatch ready. They don't even know why they're there. They're just there. And then so Candy turns to Shrey and is like, see, now, Shrey, I had another conversation with your friend. And Shrey's like,
Ooh.
You got a friend?
Did you sleep with Ba? I love that Candy is having this this in the guest house, like her second house. She's like, y'all can meet me in the second house. We are not messing up my white couches for this.
Yeah, you got to work your way up to the first house. You have to start in the house that Cynthia ruined.
Yes, Cynthia has like a little pack of her own ice cream. I mean, her own cereal.
See now, Fruit Loops.
We got Rocky Road now. So Portia and her sister. So we start intercutting with Portia and Lauren. Portia goes to Lauren's house, and Lauren's putting away her boob from feeding.
Yeah,
it's a traditional way to start a Portia scene. She goes, "What are you doing? Who in here?"
Another owl. It's like another cut from Sheree to Portia going. It's like Planet Earth, Atlanta.
And there are certainly crabs. So basically we're cross-cutting between Portia telling her side of the story and Candy telling her side of her story. And so even Shamia shows up. Poor Shamia doesn't even get invited to the group trip, but she gets to go to the tea party. So basically Candy is just telling everyone about all the crazy stuff that Portia was saying, that Candy, you know, has been in like a 7-year lesbian affair, that she has a sex dungeon, that she and Todd want to get freaky deaky, that Todd goes by Marvin when he goes to New York, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And no one can believe it.
And she goes, and basically, Portia asks me if I'm a lesbian. And Shamia goes,
she kissed me in the club. And she told me she wanted to eat me till I come.
She wanted to eat me till I
come. See, now, don't stop, that won't be hard.
Bum, bum,
Riley.
Bum. Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-bum. Bum. That's my favorite Candy moment. That's the opening from last year when she's like, I'm Candy and whatever my line is.
See? Now, Riley always says, Mom, see? Now, you, what do you want to eat? I don't like to eat. I grow up home. See? Now, like, Candy, what are you talking about?
Who said that? So, yeah, then we get another clip of, who said that? And Shamia goes, well, who said that? That's a good question. And Candy goes, but she is. She's the one who said it. And Sheree's like, I feel kind of bad about what's happening right now, but I don't want to tattle on Phaedra. I mean, if I don't have to, I don't want to. But it feels unfair that Candy doesn't know. And that's all I'm going to say. It's unfair, but I'm not going to tattle right now. Yeah. I'll wait to Maui. When I need time to myself to finish the family style meal that will surely be served.
Yeah, Phaedra's getting away with murder right now. Portia's taking the total fall. But you know what though? Portia's also dumb because she didn't have to take the fall. She could have just been like, oh, sorry, it was a miscommunication. But instead she's like, okay, I'm gonna just like dig my heels in and just go, you know, crazy on you with all these crazy allegations.
Yeah, she's going fucking crazy on her.
Yeah, I liked when Sheree, you know, when Candy says that Portia wanted to eat her till she came, Sheree was like, huh, I never would have pictured Portia as a carpet muncher. You carpet muncher? You carpet muncher? You carpet muncher? I started
you
to
carpet?
Like, yeah.
You munch on carpet?
You munch on carpet? Are you a moth? You a moth?
Bob, you a carpet muncher?
Bob, you like a carpet muncher?
Portia's like, well,
I don't remember. I mean, I was drunk, and I don't remember none of us going home bumping, but I had beer goggles on to the 1,000 that night in the club, and Candy was sober, so I don't know. Blame it on the Henny.
I'm like, if you're the one who asked, if you were wasted and you asked Candy, told Candy that you wanted to eat her out till she came, and she's sober, that does not make Candy culpable. It makes you more culpable.
Well, there's a couple things. I don't know that Portia is this cunning, but now that you say it like that, maybe Portia's trying to say, because is Portia trying to make everybody think that Candy gave her drug or was trying to give her drugs and all this stuff? Because if you're really drunk and the other people are not drunk, then that's like a form of, like, you know, sexual assault.
Yeah, except the thing is they never did anything, so therefore it wasn't, and nothing ever happened.
I know. I just don't know if Portia's like,
well, I was drunk and they weren't, so I don't know. You know, anything. They could have raped me.
Because all she's coming at right now is could haves. You know, they could have drugged me. They could have raped me. They could have started my house on fire. I mean, they could have punched my mom in the face. It's like, well, okay, anybody could do anything, Portia.
Yeah, exactly. And so then Candy says about the sex dungeon, and then they're all, you know, they're all the women are just like cracking up, and they're looking under the couch and behind drapes for the sex dungeon. And they're like, who's that?
I love that Kenya actually looked behind the curtains. She's like, well, surely if there's a sex dungeon, there's some broken windows. I mean, that spells out passion. Am I right, girls?
Oh, God. So, yeah. So now is when we learned that Portia is saying that Candy and Todd tried to drug her and Shamia and take them home. Which is, I mean, it's so crazy. It's crazy. And that's when Shreya's like, Portia done went from candy hot in the closet to now hot and in the sex dungeon with drugs? Uh-uh.
She's like a house without paying for it. You said she ain't drunk? Get some pipes.
Your sex
dungeon? Get a toilet. Crapping in the backyard. Get a toilet.
Your sex dungeon, you got piss blood? Your sex dungeon, you got piss blood? Your IKEA sex dungeon? At least my sex dungeon's finished.
You got a working sink in that sex dungeon?
You got electrical in that sex dungeon? You got electrical in that sex dungeon?
You got gas? You got gas in your sex dungeon?
We're making Greenwood laugh diagonally on Instagram.
Now Portia did word this very carefully. I mean, for Portia, you know, she is learning this game very well, because the way she worded it was, well, I heard on the street I heard on Mama Joy Street that you were saying you and Todd wanted to drug me and take me to a sex dungeon. So she's saying she heard that Candy was saying, I want to drug her and take her to a sex dungeon, which maybe something like that was said as a joke. Like, we're really going to drug her and take her to a sex dungeon, guys, I'm sure. Yeah. And then Portia's just, you know, it's a housewife show. There are enough
idiot hangers on to these people that if you make a joke like that, that they're going to pass it along like five different stops. And then next thing you know, it comes back to Portia, you know, by way of like Wendy Williams or Love Be Scott. And it's now like an assassination attempt is being, you know, constructed against her or designed against her. You know, it's like, it's so ridiculous that she gives so much credibility to the quote unquote streets. I mean, it's Portia. So, you know, she's just very dumb, sweet, but dumb.
But before streets, cities all smelled like poop, because that's where the horses would go.
So Portia is basically just telling Candy right up, you know,
do what you do, but if you open your mouth to speak to me, I'm going to speak about you. And I'm going to tell about your man in NYC saying his name is Marvin.
I just like that Todd picked the pussiest name ever. And I'm so sorry if anybody out there is named Marvin. But, you know, that's like, Marvin, dinner's ready. Like, God, Mom.
I'm not convinced that Portia wasn't playing Monopoly earlier, and the very first thing she could think of was Marvin Gardens. She's like,
and yeah, his alias is Marvin when he goes to Boardwalk.
Like, what? What are you talking about?
Because he drives a shoe and a thimble.
Someone in the street said they saw your husband Marvin trying to ride a dog on Boardwalk Avenue.
Who said that? You can't read me. You can't read me, Candy, just because your husband takes Reading Railroad.
That's what got the slaves back and forth to work.
He smells. He's been taking that B&O Railroad, hasn't he?
So Cynthia tries to get in on this, and she's like, now, something's wrong with Portia. You can't just make stuff up now. Like, she lied about, remember that time she lied about Peter just being all over Charlotte fucking 18-year-olds? I'm like, Cynthia, don't try and mix your, you know, your embarrassing truth in with Candy's sex dungeon drug addict lie, okay? Those are totally different. And you know that Peter was all over Charlotte trying to fuck 18-year-olds. Like, let's not just wrap everything up. Like, don't start sending the, you know, the foreclosure bills of Peter's brew over to Portia's house because of this.
Yeah, we all know Peter was making a mess out of Charlotte. And also the city. I mean, I don't know who Charlotte is, but...
But if you did, you'd say, did you sleep with Peter?
You sleep with Peter? You sleep with Charlotte? You got a whip? You got a whip?
These ladies were going so fast and furious in the last episode, I don't even remember Portia saying that she heard that Candy and Todd were going to try and drug her.
I didn't. I didn't hear that either. I think that they couldn't even fit it in. They couldn't even fit it in for time, which is crazy because it's such a big thing. But I didn't remember that either.
Okay, good. I thought it was just me. I was like, Jesus, what kind of drugs? Candy drugged me. Like, maybe Candy and Todd fucked me in their sex dungeon. I just don't even remember anything anymore. I've watched too much Housewives.
Yeah. So
I don't remember, baby.
So then we follow Phaedra as she heads to a church. And it's just kind of like a really stupid scene of Phaedra being like, you know, this divorce was so difficult on me. It was so, so hard, but God gave me double for the trouble. I'm like, okay.
I like whatever. That her God works at McDonald's. He's like, I supersized that for free for you, Phaedra. And she's like, oh, praise Phaedra. The Lord. Pray Jesus.
Praise Jesus. The Lord. God gave me 3 extra fries in the bag that I wasn't expecting. And I knew he was looking after me from this divorce.
I can't be the only one who laughs when Phaedra goes to church. I can't be. But every time she does it, I just start laughing. She's just such a phony, you know? And I'm like, do you think God believes half the shit you're saying half the time? Because you ain't even telling the truth in church, you know? She's like, well, hello, how y'all doing? And they're like, They have those, like, very deep nods because they're in church. They're like, hello, Phaedra. Nod, nod. Deep nod, deep nod. And she goes, how y'all doing? And then he goes, we're fasting. She's like, oh, I hear that clears the whatever. And he's like, we do it to hear the voice of God. I'm like, you do not fast. You're both 300 pounds. Get the fuck out of here. You're on the Carney Wilson cheesecake fast.
Yeah.
You can have just one, guys.
Listen, it doesn't count as a fast if it's between lunch and dinner. Phaedra says that she wants to do an old time.
I didn't eat when I was asleep. I fasted 8 hours. Sorry, but that's so mean.
Well, yeah,
I related so much.
That's why it's called breakfast.
Yeah. Sorry,
breaking
babe,
the fast of your sleep. Like, we're just waiting for breakfast. It is 7 a.m., Phaedra. Why are we shooting this early? So, yeah, Phaedra wants to do an old timey revival service, which we know will be quite interesting. I want to say hilarious, but I feel like that's actually patronizing. But she wants to an old-timey revival service, and I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Well, I love a Phaedra event.
Yeah,
they're always hilarious.
And bands and who knows what.
She'll probably have chocolate up there doing communion. You know, like slapping people in the dick in the face with his dick for their sins and just like dancing around.
Are you confusing chocolate with ridiculous? Because
oh, you're right. I am ridiculous. Yes.
Yeah.
That is wrong, Candy. yes, that's who I'm thinking of. But I like how Phaedra gets all religious about like her personal issues. Like she's like, well, these girls really need the Lord. And anytime I feel hopeless, God gives me evidence to put Paulo in time out for a few years. And I know he's listening. I'm like, Jesus, Phaedra. Okay, so she's going to have a revival. And Candy and Todd are at the OLG.
Yeah, the OLG, OLG site. And Candy walks in and she's like, looking good, Todd. And I'm like, what? It's like dust and drywall. It looks terrible. They do a before and after. And it was like, look, here is a shitty room. And here's a shitty room where a spot has been painted. and Candy goes, see now, OLG. It still has that rustic industrial feel that we were going for. I'm like, rustic industrial feel? Like, is that a thing? Are you trying to, like, recapture the 1870s in Massachusetts or something? Is that what we're calling an unfinished drywall interior? Rustic industrial. Those are two terms that don't match. Rustic industrial.
I don't even think she's trying to care at this point. Because even when she walked into it, she was doing her weave scratch thing. And that's what she does when she's, like, annoyed but doesn't want to say anything yet. And she did it in her annoyed voice, too, because she's like... Just like you said, it was way longer. She's like, looking good.
Now,
Riley could be a busser over there in the corner by the exposed nails.
I'm too scared to take that bread to a table.
I want to work in a real restaurant, like Peter's Bar 1 at the very least. I am shading you, mother. Yes.
So, Todd, I think Candy is just, the kitchen's still a mess, but at least Todd has shaved his nuts. That's all she cares about. She's like, those nuts can come home now. So Todd's like, you know what, babe? I need a break. This has been really hard. I know we're not finished, but you want to go to Hawaii, babe? So he's like, I'm not doing a girl trip.
Yeah.
Unless Peter can come. And Apollo.
Now, does Todd have any other male friends? Because I know they had a spinoff. He had male friends. Like, in what reality does it make sense to invite someone like Peter? This is your wife's girlfriend's ex-husband. I'm sorry, even if you're friends with him, that's just tacky to invite him. That's just, you're crossing a line, and it's your wife's show.
I think that he's doing it so that he has someone to yell at the women for him, because Cynthia just allows Peter to yell like he's a bitch, as Nene would say, you know? Stop trying to be a bitch, Peter! So he will yell like he's a bitch, and Todd usually tries to stay kind of calm and out of it, but I guess not this time.
No, a little bit. I mean, yeah. So, yeah. So, they're going to go to Maui. See? No. Why? So, they're going to go to there. And then they're also like, might as well invite Bob. Why not Bob? And then what about Phaedra? And Candy's like, okay. Like, she doesn't care. So then we cut to Kenya having dinner with her brother and his kids at a pizza place.
God, this first line. Anyone who knows me knows family is important to me. Like, really? You made your dad a chicken one time. Like, literally, Kenya. Are you kidding me? Like, you made your family get together so that you could give them shirts with your name on it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, Kenya. But she's just... you know, she's just talking to her brother, and he is the younger one. Now, I'm the older one. I was the one who's changing his diapers. So then they start talking about Matt, and she's like, if you had only seen how he was in the beginning, he was like a king. If he ever saw me put a hand on a door, he would get upset. I'm like, he was only upset because you're wasting your good window punching hand.
That, like, getting upset when she puts her hand on a doorknob is very Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yes.
It's like very Julia Roberts afraid in a corner, okay? Like, why are you telling this like it's a romantic story?
Yeah.
The tales are uneven. She's like, oh, shit. I had to wash my hands before
all the tuna labels aren't facing the right way.
Yeah. So, she's trying to make this sound romantic, but it's not going to work. And he's like, look, if he doesn't treat you like gold, then you need to say goodbye. And she's like, but he did treat me like that. You know, I'm just taking a break from him, but he still wants to be together. And he's like, well, you know, in a real relationship, you don't get to just be in a fight and have breaks. Like, you have kids and you stay together no matter what. And she's like, you know, I'm wondering if I'm wasting my time. Either I want drama or I want a family. And I want a family.
Oh, good.
And by family, she means drama.
The very dramatic family.
I love family drama.
If there are children, he can hit them. Stop taking it out on my garage door.
Matt, I got you a pillow. Now we can have a family. You can punch the pillow.
So Candy, Cindra, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so. Now we get another intercut thing for some reason. They're doing a lot of that. They're like, everyone's eating lunch. Just put it all together. So Candy gets together for lunch with Cynthia and Phaedra to run this Maui thing by her. And she obviously still doesn't know that Phaedra is the one who started all this.
Exactly.
And that intercuts with Bob and Sheree.
Yes. So, Bob, I'm happy to announce he was massively sweating instantly, but this time he actually had an excuse because he was working out, and Sheree came by to just sort of pester him. I don't know what she always seems to always come by. He's doing something, and she always comes by just to berate him sort of in a jokey way and then leave.
Yeah, pretty much. She's like, I'm still not going to be with you. Bye.
Bye.
Like, go to the cave. Well, thanks for coming by.
All right, Bob, you got three. You got two more sets. Come on, Bob. Three more reps. He's like, call me Big Daddy. I was like,
She comes by, gets a free lunch, complains about it, berates him, and then leaves. It's so cute.
I mean, that's cute.
Love, guys. Kenya, that's
love.
It's a cute Yeah, it is cute. So basically, she tells him about Hawaii, and he's like, now, what does that mean if we go to Hawaii? She goes, it means we will not be in the same room.
You got a divider?
My room will be finished. So Phaedra, back at lunch, she's like, I don't know. Maui brings back memories of Apollo and blah, 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 revival church, blah, fasting. And Phaedra,
yeah,
basically.
And, blah, 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 revival church.
And she's like, to be honest, I would be a little uncomfortable if Peter came because he publicly doesn't like me. And Todd and I don't have the best relationship. And it's like, if you're going to go down the whole list, we're going to need to order another course.
Yeah.
This could take a while.
She's like, the only way I'd feel comfortable going on this trip is if it was a frickin' frack adventure. I'm like, how about you just stay home, okay? You're invited on a trip. You either go or you don't go.
Yeah, but it's a group trip, so I don't think it's fair. And Candy knows. You know, I think at the end of the day, Candy is the best housewife ever at just being a good housewife. You know, she shows up to what she's supposed to do. You know she's on time.
Yes.
I have a feeling like Candy's on time.
Most of the time. I think she had some incidents a few seasons ago where she was late. There was one trip, I think it was when they went to go to Charleston, where they all were waiting hours upon hours for people to show
true.
Up.
Oh, that's true. They actually Candy had a reunion fight people. About that.
Yeah, Candy was one of the late people.
Okay, well, never mind. I take it back. So she's not on time. But otherwise, I feel like she'll be like, okay, it's a group trip. I know I have to bring her. So just...
So Candy basically tells Phaedra, because Phaedra's like, well, maybe I'll bring Portia. And Candy's like, I don't got to talk to her. She's like... So she gives Phaedra the option of a plus one, knowing that's probably going to be Portia. And so then Cynthia starts asking Phaedra what she thinks about what Portia was saying, all this gossip. And, you know, Phaedra, always trying to be squeaky clean, is like, well, has nothing to do with me, so I'm going to stay out of it. My lips are sealed, unlike Miss Burris's.
I have no cocks in this fight. God hasn't put it in my heart to get in the middle. Like, yeah. Okay, Phaedra. So wise until she gets caught. But wise. Do you think, now, in Phaedra's mind, do you think she's getting away with something here? Because she did at that lunch, and we get a clip of it every week, where she's like, well, I don't know if I'd be making fun of someone else's secrets when she was like a finger in the hole or whatever during lunch. Do you think even remembers that? Or does she just say so much rude shit about Candy that she didn't even think twice about it? Do you think she even knows that all this drama is her?
I think she remembers saying it. And I think that she's hoping that no one else remembers and that everyone thinks it started with Portia. I think she's hoping to skate out of it, but she won't because there'll be a reunion.
Well, luckily for her, she did start it, but Portia's taken it so far that she wouldn't even be in trouble now, really, if she said it. She would just say, well, that's before we had the lunch where you refused to eat an appetizer. And, you know, when the check was brought, God left a little mint, and also he put it into my heart that I should forgive you. And so I forgive you for me saying things about you. You know how Phaedra do.
She'll probably say, Phaedra will probably blame it on Portia. She'll be like, well, I was just repeating what Portia told me. And Portia will be too dumb to realize that Phaedra was telling her about it.
All I did was put my finger in a hole, and Portia took that as meaning vagina on vagina. Now, how she got that when it was obviously a penis going into a hole, I'll never know, but...
All I was merely saying was that Candy likes to take two fingers and touch them against two other fingers from someone else, ideally a woman. There's nothing wrong with that. I could do it to you right now, Andy.
Candy likes scissoring. How else are you supposed to cut paper, Andy? Are you supposed to just rip it to shreds?
We're not animals. We can't just make snowflakes by ripping them.
I actually had crumbs on both corners of my mouth, which is why I made a V sign over them. I started flicking my tongue.
And then I could have sworn one of those snowflakes was falling from the sky and I wanted to catch one on my tongue. So I reached my tongue out while I was wiping from the corners of my mouth. That is all.
So Phaedra and Portia go to a general upkeep shop for ladies.
I didn't know what that was.
That was an auto body shop for ladies.
It was... I don't know. It was like Pet Boys, but for ladies. I said Phaedra's at a clinic or something.
Yeah. Pet Boys where you walk in and there's tires on the wall. And then there's like a whole row of like air filters. They had everything. They had ass implants, some kind of vaginal implant, lasers, you know.
And a guarantee that you're not going to pay a lot for that muffler. Yeah. There's
price matching.
Man.
Yeah. Vaginal price matching.
Just want to alert everyone that there is a family of four deer outside the window.
Oh my God. For a second, I thought of you looking over at the roof in Hollywood where the models shoot their headshots. And I was like, what the fuck are those models doing with deer on the roof?
Deer is just my code word for anorexic models on the next roof over.
Who I wish would jump. Deers.
Also, I'm going to say goodbye to our Instagram watchers. Thank you for watching our live, watching on Instagram live. I'm just going to turn it off because my battery is dying on my phone. So bye. Thanks for watching. And by the way, Katie Cazorla and Kay Casey, who were on there, who said hello to us. Hi.
Hi.
Bye. All right. Okay. They're gone. We can talk so much shit about them now.
Yeah. See ya. So when Katie Cazorla came to get her vagina tightened at the Pat Boys. So Portia walks in this pantsuit. Which I can only describe with Phaedra sounds.
The deer are now charging at the window. Like, what is it? It's a mating call.
So they're playing around with the butt implants and stuff, and Portia puts one between her legs, and she goes,
"We gotta do that so we can have Beyonce gap."
Which is why I just can't ever hate Portia. I'm sorry.
She's hilarious. I mean, she's just off the deep end. I mean, she's on the wrong side of this argument, but I love her.
Yeah, she just makes me laugh. And she's the first person in history to really drag Kenya across the floor, literally. So,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
You go, girl. So yeah. You can do whatever you want. So Phaedra, yeah. Basically, they just do their thing. You know, they're freaking frack. I'm ready to get nasty with this son of a bitch. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Girl, guys. You about to be a human hot pocket.
I'm going to come out and be super snatched.
Yeah, so they're just in there. They're just like having typical lady upkeep comedy moments that we've seen a million times. And then at one point, Phaedra goes into another room and she comes back in and she's wearing a hula skirt and a lei. And, you know, Portia is very confused.
And her garbage bag still.
Yeah, the garbage bag's wrapped around her legs or thighs, but basically Phaedra invites Portia to Maui, and Portia's like,
okay, you got teapot coming, you got instigator coming, you got flip-flop, and you got messy. Where I want to go?
Where I gonna eat?
And she's like,
Lord have mercy, I can't deal with these heifers here. Now I gotta deal with them out of the country.
Hawaii.
It's Hawaii.
It's Hawaii. Fucking Portia.
We ain't taking that underground railroad, right? I need sunlight.
How we get through the ocean and the railroad?
The ocean ain't underground. How are we supposed to take the railroad there?
Listen, I am not about violence anymore, so I cannot go to some place that Hawaiian Punch is named after.
So airport.
I slipped into my Lisa
you
Nicole.
You did, but
voice.
I kind of liked it. It made me like Lisa Nicole for like a split second. Weird.
I still want a baby.
Well, I still want my 20-year-old ass. It's over, okay. Peter and Cynthia are at the airport, and he's like, "It's kind of weird being here at the airport with you."
She's like, "Tell me about it. Get off my show."
She's like, "Please stop fighting better than me, so that I can stop taking you places."
Yeah.
They're like, "Yes, Cynthia, we will let you come back for another season as long as you bring the real bitch back to fight."
Yes, please, please kick someone in the stomach.
I can get a leg cast. Right? Yes, you can get a leg cast. All right.
Okay. My arc is leg cast. Okay. Algae.
And you'll bring Peter to every opening. Done. Done.
I've got a deck. A dock. A dock and a deck. I can rhyme.
Oh, Candy. I'm glad we split up into teams. Because over here is Team Good Vibes. And over there, Freak Fraud.
It's Freaking Fraud. No. Fraud. Riley. Say out of fraud. Riley.
Friends now.
I'm talking gibberish. I'm sorry, everyone.
I love Candy talk. That's actually when I tell What's Her Face to turn on the rain at night. It's really just sounds of you doing Candy looping until I wake up in the morning. I'm like, why did I have a wet dream with R2-D2? It's so weird.
My favorite is later on in the episode when Candy does the cry talk. I love Candy cry talk. But we'll
oh, yeah. Are you doing it now?
No. Oh,
I was like, oh my God, I love it too. I just sat back in my chair.
I'm like, you know what? I love cry talk. Anyway, at the Four Seasons.
I like that on the airplane, everyone thought Sheree was going to miss the flight. And then she makes it at the last minute. And they're like, you made it. And she goes, you ain't going to keep me in an airport waiting 2 hours for a flight.
You got Uber?
Please arrive 2 hours before your flight.
No, I'm going to do that.
Did you mean to be so late to your plane, Sheree?
And you know Sheree's that lady who shows up and she's like, gotta go to the front. Gotta go to the front.
Yeah, she's
Homelander Securities. Gotta go to the front.
Homeland of Securities. So the first flight lands and they all get to the Four Seasons and everyone's outside at this little area. And there's like a drummer and a fire dancer. And the drummer, Peter, goes, you know, that's my beat, right? That's my beat. I'm like, that's strange. I didn't hear the sound of wallets being emptied and bank accounts depleting. Is that what you heard? I didn't hear pennies falling onto the table when you opened your wallet.
I didn't hear the multiple sounds of -$32 dinging on your Wells Fargo account every time you overdrew.
I'm sorry, is that drum beat the same sound as the cars on the highway over your club? I must have been confused.
That's my beat.
It's my beer. Sounds like coffee. It's the sound of my Peter's Brew coffee beans.
Peter will come out with his old, like, garage band and just, you know, control, right click, change name of all the sounds in there to be something with his name on them.
Peter's Loop.
Peter's Loop. You want drums? I got drums. That's my beat.
I was a music producer back in the day. And then I got into coffee. And now I got bar 1, 2, and 3, which is also how much money they've made. $1, $2, and $3.
So Todd and Candy are in their room. Candy is not having it. I mean, Candy doesn't have postpartum depression. She has like postpartum rage. Like, Candy is just ready to beat the shit out of somebody at any moment. And I really like it. I'm very thankful for what Ace did to Candy.
She is, I think that she is groggy. She's tired from this flight. She's hungry. She wants to go to sleep. And production's making her stay awake for dinner. And even Todd's like, I don't think I'm going to go to dinner. That's when all the ladies like to pop off. And she's like, see, Todd, you're coming to dinner.
And he's like, I don't know. Marvin has to punch in at 10 p.m. So on the plane, Portia, it just cuts to Portia and Phaedra's plane. And all you hear is,
yeah, they were landing. It sounded like that plane got taken over by the gremlins. I was expecting to hear that. You know that door is going to open up and Phaedra's going to come out in a little Malibu Barbie car speeding around the tarmac.
So you Portia has brought Todd, thank God, hot Todd. So she brings Todd because, you know, some people wait to have sex before they get married, and then they're sure to have sex before they get married just to do a test drive. And this is kind of like that, but since, you know, Portia already fucked him in junior high or whatever, she saved the virginity for the Housewives trip experience. It's like,
If
you're going to be with me, you're going to need to learn to yell at a bitch.
It's like, okay, here we go.
More like, if you're going to be with me, you have to learn how to sit there quietly while I go off and be crazy. Because yes. Todd wanted to, he just wanted to turn into an armadillo. He was curling up inside himself.
He's got to learn to be like a surgeon's assistant. It's like, hammer,
knife, mallet to beat somebody over the head with.
Giant mallet to beat somebody over the head with.
That's like a very Ina Garten joke. That's what she says anytime she has a guest chef on her show. And she's always like, oh, I feel like I'm like a nurse, doctor. Yes, doctor. Yes, doctor. Every time she hands a spoon over and she turns the camera and laughs.
Only on this podcast could you hear Portia compared to Ina
no,
in a way that
Todd,
actually makes sense.
Todd to Ina. Oh, Todd to Ina. Portia is the guest judge. Not the, is the guest chef. It's like Tyler Florence teaching Ina Garten how to make a birthday cake asymmetrically. That happened. That was a real episode.
So at dinner, Candy walks down over it.
We'll just
it.
Leave that there. It's coming back. I'm warning you. It's coming back. And I'm not even joking.
So Candy is walking to dinner, and you know it's going to be trouble because Candy's doing her nervous weave scratch. Well, today it's braids, but she's doing that thing where she sticks one nail on her scalp and makes this face.
Didn't you kind of expect Don Juan to poke up in the bushes, you know, Tom and Jerry style? He's going to poke up and just spy, look around, and poke back out into the bushes.
I think Don Juan has been cut off for a while. I think someone was like, no, there will be no Don Juan unless he's in a group scene for a while. And but to compensate, we'll let Kwame's face scrunch in every scene that he's in. Okay, just sign the contract, Candy.
His so, goldfish face.
Basically, everybody's starting to arrive at the table. They're all exhausted because it's 2:30 their time. Sheree's late. Yeah. He's like, you know that Sheree's always late. She comes to the table. She's like, is that my name? And he's like, I was just saying how prompt you are. And she goes, are you being facetious? And he goes, no, I don't even know how to spell that.
You got a dictionary? You got a dictionary? So
you don't know how to spell cunnilingus. That doesn't stop you from doing it to the whole neighborhood, Bob.
It's like, whoa, that got dark. So so everyone's sitting there, and then Portia and Todd, Hot Todd, come down the way. And she's like, ha! And they all are like, hi, nice to see you.
Hello, everybody!
They just all look away. And she's like,
that's a nice welcome. I would like to announce it's Todd's 40th birthday!
And everyone's like, yay.
Yay. And then Cynthia's like, well, it's Peter's birthday yesterday or tomorrow or sometime. Peter's like, oh, yeah. Like, way to pick up on that one, Peter.
This is my date.
His birthday's like 6 months ago.
It's my date. Did you read that? That's my date.
Lindsay from Summer House is like, and I just signed a new taco client, so... She just shows up.
They just start blaming everything on Christina.
Yeah. I wouldn't have made up that rumor if Christina weren't meddling with me all the time.
Maybe I could find happiness if Christina wasn't trying to make me Candy's drunk lesbian.
It's like, whoa.
I just am saying what reporter Gibson told me, reporting live from the sex dungeon.
So this dinner is so awkward, and Portia sits down. She's trying to be positive, but there's no way she's going to get away with that on this trip. They all Candy's know what's coming, spoiling. And Portia literally sits down right in front of a sign, a huge sign that says steep drop-off. Did Candy assign this shit? Because you know she's just going to push her ass right over.
Yeah, that's going to happen very, very soon.
So Portia tells us, she's like,
I don't want to, there's a Todd that I got, and then there's other Todd, and I don't want to respect other Todd and call him Marvin, so I'll call him Toddler.
I know. I was like, wah, wah, wah. She's like,
because he's small and cute.
I was like, just stick with Hot Todd. We already named your boyfriend Hot Todd. Just stick with it. It's good. Don't bring Todd down. Bring your Todd up.
So Candy is Candy couldn't take it. Just looking at Portia's face. So she was like, bye. So she got up and went to the bathroom for a while and tells us, you know, her telling people I tried to drug her, that could ruin my life. And, you know, which is true.
Yeah.
And then Phaedra comes in and she gets kind of the same welcome. You know, everyone's like, hi.
Yeah.
And she has to sit by Peter, which she's not happy about.
And somewhere in the mix here, someone's asking Kenya, like, where? Oh, no. Peter's like, so where's Matt? Why didn't you bring Matt? I'm like,
Peter.
Yeah. So Peter. And she's like, well, you know, we're sort of going through a thing. And also, I needed someone to watch the dogs. I'm like, so he's watching your dogs right now? This is the violent man who's bashing your windows. You're then making him watch your dogs.
Yeah, but that's what he complains about. He's like, she only treats me like an employee. Like, she starts all this shit, and then she's calling me to clean her house. And she's like, that's not fair. I have a Swiffer, Matt. He's like,
My point was.
Yeah, she's basically like, we are not speaking, and you will be watching the dogs this week. Please don't throw them through the garage door.
you manipulated me into taking care of your dogs. I thought you wanted a foot massage because your dogs are barking.
Coming next week. Like, literally, that's going to come up next week.
Yeah, she manipulated me into watching the dogs.
I do not like that Matt is my Erica. That's really bugging me. I never
noticed
that.
He's my Toya. He's, like, sort of my Toya. Oh.
Well, my Erica is your Toya. So you see,
it's
all
connected. A spectrum. I mean, I've been really going between Portia and Lisa Nicole all podcasts, and my Candy is all sorts of bonkers right now. Candy is like essentially a transistor radio trying to tune itself. I just watched an episode of Stranger Things, my first episode, and essentially when they got on the ham radio, it's like, oh look, they're on the candy machine. It's like. Riley. 11.
Oh my god, so where are we here?
So there's awkward silence. When Candy comes back, there's awkward silence and no one's talking, and then Shreya's like, well, sometimes, sorry, I started doing Tom Colicchio. well, this meal's good. Shreya's like, listen, there are no losers here, only a winner. No. She goes, Shreya's like, well, it feels weird. We're not really gelling, so I think for the group to move forward, I think we just got to get it all out on the table and just get it out there. You got to get it on the table? You got a table? You got a table? So I was like,
you
okay, here we go.
We're going to put it on this table and not at Kenya Moore disaster.
Table.
Table. So no one would talk. So she's like, Portia, some of the girls say, you say slanderous things that aren't true. And she's like,
not true.
So Cynthia tries to help out, and she's like, yeah, you know, the conversations about candy. She's like, I don't lie.
Oh, so you went back to the table and told. That's extra messy.
In true candy fashion.
I'm like, listen, like, you're Ty caught her on it. Ty's like, don't try to get it off that or whatever. Because Candy was like, I did tell everyone. She's like, you were saying the craziest shit, Porsche. Of course I told everyone.
Todd's so then just like, stick to the details. Follow the plan or the kitchen will never get done. Sorry, babe. I can't stop thinking about Og.
Rustic industrial.
Hot Todd, meanwhile, is just like, oh, fuck. And this is when he starts looking down at his plate and just like, I just want to go to sleep and jerk off in the morning.
Phaedra. And then Phaedra. It just dawns on Phaedra. She's like, now I'm wondering if it was a good idea to bring Portia. So
really? Really? Now you're thinking? Now it's dawned on you?
So Candy's like, we'd rather drug you. And Portia's like,
I came at you with the truth, and you came at me with all sort of messiness. So I got out a stain stick. And I put it on, waited 5 minutes, and put you in the washing machine. And then when you came out, I still wouldn't wear you because you smelled like summer fresh.
It's like, what are you even talking about?
And that's all I have to say. A-L-L, that's all.
So,
snuggle yourself, bitch!
So Candy is like, see? Nah, Porsche. You told everyone except Riley
that we have a sex dungeon.
And then she's like,
no, what I said was that you probably told someone that, like, you wanted to take us to a sex dungeon, maybe.
I'm like, that's a very different story, Portia.
And Candy's just losing it. She's like,
what I told you before. That's what she does. When she gets really mad, she goes, what I said, Portia, is that what I said is that. That's a different thing. These things can ruin my life, Portia. A mother's love may never be revived. So that was like a big ab workout to do that voice. So now Portia admits that she probably did want to eat out Candy because she was drunk. So now she's fully backtracking yet saying that she's not backtracking at all.
Yeah, she's like,
that probably did happen. I was tipsy.
And Todd's like, so you're admitting it? And she's like,
yeah, so what? What's the big deal? And
Peter's like, I'm looking at Todd like, what the hell? If this was Cynthia trying to bring Portia home, we'd all three be fucking.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, he's like, yeah, if Cynthia barely tongue kisses Portia in the mouth and I'm here, we're all fucking tonight. I'm promising you that. I'm like, shut the fuck up, Peter. Just throw yourself off that steep decline. I'm like, honestly.
And that's why you were cut out of the will. Enjoy yeah. Charlotte.
You're just disgusting. And to think that we watched this on Women's Day.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, today's like Women's Day.
Oh, what a better way to celebrate than Peter and then a preview of Bob saying that he should have choked Sheree harder the first time.
Love oh, that. Poor Bob. He can never choke Sheree harder. She's jacked.
No kidding. She's got a tree trunk for a neck. Good luck with that. You can barely lift those 25 pounders.
Yeah, exactly, Bob. So, so then the best part of all is that while Portia is, you know, saying that she is saying the truth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Candy does something that usually is reserved for the reunion, but she prints out the screenshot of texts from her interaction with Portia.
Oh, perfect classic Housewives Law and Order shit. I loved it. She's like, So she whips out the texts and then she reads them. Did you screenshot them?
I didn't.
Oh my God, Ben, you're my little screenshotter.
I know, I'm sorry.
So basically, it just, their joke, you know, Portia's joking. She's like, sorry, I had my phone off 3 days. You better not tell anybody. And I wasn't trying to rape you, girl. LOL. You know, squishy face or whatever.
And if you tell anyone on camera, I'm going to deny it all. That's essentially what she said. I'm going to run or whatever it was. It may have all been a totally jokey text. But it showed that Portia was totally complicit in this and that she was the aggressor, as Candy said. See, now, Portia, she's the B in LGBT.
Yeah, but Portia's already admitted that she was coming on to them. So it kind of took the air out of this. Except that Candy's still pissed that she was saying that she was going to drug her and rape her or something. But now Portia's acting like,
no, I heard you said you was going to do it. Not that you, I didn't hear you say it. I heard you say it to somebody else.
Okay. Well, you know you're not going to win this one, like either one of you, because how can you fight with somebody who says, I heard something?
So now this is when Candy really starts having her voice-breaking moment. First she turns to Todd and is like, she says that Portia's a fraud and is like, I feel sorry for you, sir. And then she like appeals to Phaedra, which I thought was interesting. And she's like, Phaedra, she said I had a sex dungeon. And you know, if I had one, I would tell everybody about it because I don't really care. See, now the part that matters, Phaedra, this chick tried to turn around and say that we tried to drug her.
Drag her into a dungeon. And Portia's like,
well, she has the right to say that.
What fight are you in, Portia? She's in like waiter training.
The customer is always right.
And Candy's like, you got the right to shut your damn face. And Portia is like,
I wasn't going to tell your business until you talked about me.
And Candy's like, you know, I have fun, but the one thing I wouldn't do is drug and to put that out there about me. It took everything in me not to choke this bitch. Bam! And Hawaii rattles.
I know, but by the way, Portia saying that she wouldn't have talked about Candy's business if Candy didn't come for her first. I'm like, Portia, I hate to reduce it down to this childhood taunt, but you started it. You did.
Yeah, she did.
You started it. So Candy cleared the air. And then rather than saying, oh, okay, yeah, you just decided to go back even harder. And so now Candy's punching back harder. You started this mess, Portia. Actually, Phaedra did.
Yeah.
But yeah, either way, you were part of it.
She kind
of
started it trying to stick up for Phaedra, who's not really doing shit for her right now.
Yeah.
But I hope they stay friends anyway.
I hope they will. You know, this show is good for people screaming at each other, bloody murder, and then 6 months later, that we're going to brunch now. Everything's fixed.
Yeah, I kind of understand how people get forgiven on death row sometimes after watching this show. I'm like, wow, okay, I understand true forgiveness. Like, these people put each other through a lot.
Yeah, they do.
This show gets dark.
It's madness. This is definitely a step up in intensity from last season's pulling the chair out from Tootie drama.
Oh, good. I kind of miss Tootie. Is that weird?
I really liked Tootie on the show. I thought she brought in a fun. She was just a different. She was she was a stick in the mud, which I enjoyed.
Well, I like that she was really still a diva underneath it all, and like finally got her mad enough to say, "I'm Kim Richards," which Kim is all Fields. I really. I am Kim Fields. Oh my God, what if she said I'm Kim Richards? That would have been awkward.
That would have been amazing. Oh, but I do sort of miss her obsession with carpool. Like, oh, carpool juice boxes.
Yeah, I miss her husband wearing mom jeans, mom dockers.
I miss that too.
Yeah, I miss that too. But anyway, so what? The past is past, and you know what else is past? This episode.
This episode, but now that Atlanta's done, we can move on to Crappin's mailbag. I bet you forgot that was coming.
Bring it to me, honey.
Bring it. This is when listeners get to have their questions and comments read on the air. You just go to Patreon to sign up, patreon.com/watchforcrappins. Our first question comes from the adorable Mick Resendez, or as I like to call him, Mick Resendez. And he says, "Hello, Ronnie and Ben. My question isn't really Bravo related, but it was inspired while listening to your Top Chef recaps. I love listening to you guys talk about food and cooking. Ben, thank you for posting the article about seasoning a cast iron skillet. You both have really inspired me to challenge myself in the kitchen. So my question is, what cookbooks would you recommend for those of us new to cooking? Any other advice to new chefs? Love you both."
I know that you will have a much better answer for this, so I'll get my shitty one out of the way. I think the best way is to think of stuff you like to make and then just go on the internet. Because when you search a recipe on the internet, they're starred because all of them have reviews. And so most of the Food Network recipes show up first, and a lot of them are disgusting. Like, let's be honest. I mean, some of those chefs on the Food Network. But some of them are just perfectly basic enough to teach you, you know, sauteing onions and garlic and stuff like that. That's what I do. And then you eventually learn how to make a lot of really good things.
Yeah. And when I started out, I was doing a lot of internet recipes. And the good thing about those too is that people write comments usually. And so you can see what they did if they encountered any issues or trouble. So that is really helpful. Outside of internet recipes, there are definitely some cookbooks that I think would be good starter cookbooks. I think Ina Garten, almost any of her cookbooks you could start with, just dive in. They're all actually very accessible recipes that she has. I really like her How Easy Is That cookbook. That's one of my favorites of hers. You can honestly just like pick one off. How easy is that? You can start with the very first one, the Barefoot Contessa cookbook. Rick Bayless has a cookbook called Mexican Everyday. And that one is like easy Mexican weeknight sort of food. Also very easy and approachable. I would say stay away from cookbooks that are like restaurant cookbooks or highly chef driven, even though Rick Bayless is a chef, because a lot of restaurant cookbooks are super annoying.
And don't start French.
Yeah, don't start French. The restaurant cookbooks will always have you going after some ingredient that you can only get it at a farmer's market and only at one part of the season. And they organize things by season and then by this and by that and pairings. And you sort of have to work your way up to those, I think.
Yeah, cook things you want to cook or you want to eat.
Yeah, there's a cookbook that my mom gave me when I first moved to L.A. Back in 2001, and I didn't know what to do with myself. My mom gave me a cookbook called The New Basics by, I think it's Julie Russo and Sheila Lukens. And that's like one of those big, thick cookbooks that just has a whole bunch of recipes in it. It just like has everything for every occasion. You should get something like that. And then also I would say Mark Bittman, his recipes on the New York Times are also very approachable and very easy. So I would start in those areas and then just grow out from there.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah, yeah.
Cook so, on, brother.
Like, yeah, and let us know how your things work out. Mike Bowman, good old Mike Bowman. He says, "Hey, guys, let's speculate. What is keeping Erica Jane up at night?" Because she says, "You don't know what's keeping me up at night."
Well, we know it's not math equations.
One fuck plus two fucks equals I don't give a fuck.
Two wrong fucks don't make I give a fuck. With that vote.
Maybe it's she's just trying to remember her lines for Young and the Restless.
Whatever they may be once they write them.
All right, but what if I play the president who's obsessed with Eileen?
To be or not to be, what is the question?
Listen here, Putana.
They're like, it's Putin.
Whatever, I don't give a fuck. What country are you from? Hawaii?
Porsche stupidity leaking in.
Yeah.
But in all reality, I cannot tell after watching this episode because, of course, the first thing everybody is thinking is, what does she go home to every night? Don Rickles yelling at her for leaving crumbs on the counter. You know, smelly tent farts that she has to go to sleep with. You know, like there's a lot of Don Rickles issues that she could be kept up at night. You know, like maybe she has to help him out of bed to go pee like every two hours. You know, we don't know what it is. But I have a feeling it's going to be like,
my grandma died and my mom pushed me in the deep end. So
it's probably about her son being a police officer. But it could also be, did they ever fix that fountain in the backyard that we first saw me talking about back last season?
Remember when I ordered tiles for that fountain? I hope I did the right thing. You don't know what I sleep with every night.
You don't know what it's like to go to sleep in a house that has a little chapel in it. And you haven't prayed in a while. The guilt. The guilt, I tell you, the guilt. Thank you. That was my submission for Days of Our Lives.
You won't know what I go through every night. Actually, just the hallway to get to the library where I can stare at the printed canvases of myself looking really fucking hot, bitch. I'll give a fuck.
Till now, I always got by myself. I never really cared if you liked me. But now it chills me to the bone. How do I get by alone? Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Alone. I said it. Alone.
I said it. I stay up late at night trying to remember lyrics to Heart. I do not have sweet dreams or these dreams. See? That's why I stay up at late at night. I can't even refer to the proper Heart song when I'm talking about my heart anxiety.
I'll tell you what keeps me up at night. Not a goddamn thing, you stupid bitch. I'll give a fuck.
I'll tell you what keeps me up at night. The staircase, see? Because it takes me upstairs. Get it? I'm here all night, everybody. I don't give a fuck.
Mikey, he literally stands there and holds me all night long, sucker.
All night. All night long. All night. What keeps me up late at night is wondering how I can get in touch with Gina's psychic. So that way I can know what's going on with Lionel. All night long. Thank you, everyone. Thank
now,
you.
Let me tell you, girl, you've got a first name, like Cher. Well, actually, you've got two first names, Erica and Joan.
You're a firsty. Girly.
Double firsts.
Double firsts.
Double the first, double the thirst. Bitch, I'll go off. Oh,
I look right at your puss, and I said, get out of that jumpsuit right this instant. And guess what? It did, Erica Jane.
No, it's still attached to me. Still my pussy.
If I was your grandmother, I would have said, listen here, Aussies. And get the hell out of my body right now. And it would have.
And it would have. And then you wouldn't be sitting in a cemetery, getting lizards crawling all over your leg.
That lizard. There was a lizard that jumped on my leg at the cemetery when I was visiting Grandmama. That's what keeps me up at night.
Like, oh, I get it. I get it, dear. That lizard was your grandmother saying hi.
No, it was just a lizard, and it freaked me the hell out. And now I can't go to sleep. And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Oh, so good. All right, Ben. We want to close that thing up. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. We will be back tomorrow with a super fun recap of Summer House.
Oh, sorry, I was chameleoning. It's...
Hi.
Hi. When you do it, it makes me laugh so hard.
Hi. Hi.
Thumping stupid faces cartoon with her big stupid open mouth. I love Camille. Okay, everybody. Yes. Till
Summer
tomorrow.
House is super funny tomorrow. Everyone, stay tuned for it. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Camille kisses.